Grace and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was about 9 years ago. I was newly baptized in college, and it was around this time of year, about a month earlier in December, before Christmas break. All of us young adults were at Bible study, and my pastor gave us all a fun Christmas-themed Bible questionnaire. The point of the questionnaire, he said, was to show how naturally we start to assume things are in the Bible. We begin to forget that we don't actually need to read the Word to see what it says, and we trust other things, and it's usually not a big deal, but he wanted to make the point that we have to remain in the Word, that that's the thing there. And so he said, here's a quiz to see what you know about the Christmas story. And I said, I got this. I might be new to this whole Christian thing, but I have seen every Christmas movie. Not only that, my grandma made us read Luke chapter 2 every year before we open presents, so I think out of anything, I got this Christmas thing. Let's give it a go. So we all start taking this quiz, and we're all rapidly going through it. There's some chuckles in the room, not a big deal, and then we all quickly are done, and we sit there just smiling amongst ourselves, waiting. Easy peasy, no problem whatsoever. And then we started to go over the quiz, and we all bombed horribly. I am proud to say I led the class by getting zero right, so well done, future pastor. And I remember some of the questions. Now, Richard Moran was telling me he just did this with the guy, so he said he's going to send me the quiz, so I hope it's the same one. But I remember five questions, and I'm going to give you four right now, and I'm going to give you the answer that I gave. So first, it had this question. What did the innkeeper say to Mary and Joseph? Something like, there's no room in the inn. Which animals were in the barn the night of Jesus' birth? Well, I thought I was being clever. I'm like, I don't know if they had cows, but sheep and pigs. And then I thought, who in the world would have pigs if you're a Jew? So that was already bad. On what animal did Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem? A donkey, I put. And finally, what did the angels sing to the shepherds in the field? Well, I knew this one. I was happy. Glory to God in the highest. Now, maybe you're like me and you thought those are pretty easy, but remember, I got every single one of them wrong. Because when you actually read it, the Bible never actually mentions an innkeeper ever. So maybe they met one, maybe not. Maybe they said boom chakalaka. I have no idea what the innkeeper said. And it actually doesn't mention animals in the place where they had Jesus at all, so I don't know. Definitely not pigs. I was wrong there. That donkey that I assumed they rode to Bethlehem, complete fiction. They might have had a donkey. They might not have. They might have walked, because remember, let's assume that he's smarter as a husband, Joseph, than we give him credit for. They probably didn't arrive the night of her delivery. They probably got there early. It's good traveling plans for pregnant mothers. And finally, that angel choir, not a choir at all. They spoke those words. Probably yelled them, I don't know. They certainly were terrifying. Needless to say, me and these other college students are baffled. How did we do so badly? What happened? What are we missing? So we had a great conversation about how the fiction that we use to support the Bible sometimes creeps in. Now, that's not to say that fictionalizing the Christmas narrative is wrong. It's adorable. It's fun. It's great. It helps bring it to life. It helps kind of fill some of the stuff that isn't in there. But to rely on it and to think it's in the Bible, that's a different question. Well, there's also the problem that sometimes the fiction that we make is actually less interesting than the reality. And today we get a good taste of it. Today we celebrate the Epiphany of Christ, which is not just like a Eureka moment, but it kind of is. It's when the world realized that God in flesh is right here. And we always have representatives. And today, our text, we had the three wise men, right? They came and they had the epiphany. Right here is Jesus. He's God in flesh. And they praised him. Good job, wise men. But that's mostly what the stories say. That's what our tradition and fun and all the story has made about these men. And they're actually far more interesting and applicable to us with what the Bible actually says and what it doesn't say about them. You see, usually we hold these three men, these wise men, these rich people in such high esteem for their devotion to God, for the wisdom that led them to Christ, for the incredible gifts they gave. Oh, they even followed God's sign, the star, because they were just so wise and maybe mathematical geniuses. I don't know, because they followed the star. But that's not actually what the Bible says. We don't praise them for their wisdom, actually. We thank God that he led them there. And so, yeah, I had that 20 question thing about Christmas, but I had another one that came up a few years ago with the guy who teaches Matthew at seminary. And it was Christmas time, so he thought it'd be fun to go through the Christmas text and talk about them. And he changed one word, an older, better translation of one single word in this text, and it makes it so darn cool. It blew us away. I was talking to my friends, and we're all like, yeah, we're doing the thing that he taught us, right? And we're all like, yeah, because it's awesome. First, this was question number 5 that I remembered. How many wise men were there? I put 3. We don't know. We have no idea how many wise men there were. But 3 is a nice number, so I'm going to stick with 3. And it's also how many gifts they brought, right? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we'll talk about those in a moment. But we call them wise men. The word used in the original language is not wise men. In fact, it kind of connotates the opposite. The word used is magi, which some of you have certainly heard, magi, but it's where we get our words magic and magician. The word isn't used to describe guys like David Copperfield, okay? These guys did not show up at Bethlehem and start sawing women in half, nor did they try and make the Statue of Liberty disappear. They were of a different sort. The word magi, which is plural because there were many of, or a handful of them at least, was actually used to describe people who were learned in the mystical arts, using magic more like medieval Europe thought witches did. Magic learning was their life's goal, and they looked to the stars for answers. They were astrologers and sorcerers. Some were known to have even talked to spirits. Why in the world do we call them wise men? On one hand, they were very learned. They were very good at what they did, very dedicated at the very least, but they were dedicated to mystical, ungodly things. Matthew, in his gospel, put the word magi to describe these traveling men from the East. And any Jew or Christian that would have heard that was immediately raising their eyebrows and stepping back saying, oh, no, I'm okay. I don't want them. These were not the sort of people you wanted your kids to hang around with. You tell them to stay away. In modern terms, I would call them more like House Slytherin than Gryffindor. And this detail is awesome. Watch how this little word change changes the story and truly brings us into it. See, before, or normally, the wise men, thanks to their wisdom, right, their smarts and their years of practice are to be praised, almost emulated because they found Christ from being so wise, and then their wealth, they gave him gifts. Except that's not how anyone ever comes to Jesus. There's never wisdom that brings us there. It's never money, it's never influence, it's never smarts. It is only by faith. Because none of us would ever be smart enough, wise enough to come there, including these men. But if we remember that these magi, these heathen sorcerers, if you will, if we remember that they're actually wayward sinners who watch the stars for answers, then we see something beautiful. Because they were anything but wise, at least in terms of God. They knew nothing. In fact, they spent their lives looking to the wrong thing. They were not depending on God, and instead, they look towards their tricks and learning. They are actually much more a perfect example of what it means to not be a person of God. And yet God took these. It's almost like he searched the land for the worst possible example of someone. Like he looked for the worst example of who follows me the worst, and he found these guys. And then he brought them to his holy son. He took these despicable sorcerers that are to be avoided, these heathens, and he gave them a miracle in the sky so that they would be brought in to find the Lord of the earth, the King of kings. God brought them there. God guided them by sheer miracle, these sinful, misguided men, and took them to his holy, perfect Son. The story of the Magi is not one that we should become or even be like. The story of the Magi is our story. They're a representative of a fallen world, which we are a part of. That story is there so that God can show his purpose. His mission, the kingdom of God, is not for the smartest. It's not for the fastest. It's not for the best, the wisest. It's for the worst, the dirtiest, the ones who look to anywhere but God. And God sought these men out, brought them to him as an example. To say that I had them travel across hundreds of miles, found the worst people, and even they were brought in and worshiped my Son. The Magi are like us, like the world, really. Like them, we're sinful. We so quickly turn to other things for answers than God. We trust money, we trust other things, just like they trusted stars. We like to depend on our knowledge, our wisdom, and we find comfort in it just like they did. Both us and the Magi are sinful people. And if we didn't have a gracious God, sinful people would have nothing to do with a perfect God. But God is not just perfect, he is loving. And so God sent a miracle to the Magi so that they would be brought to his Son and find him. Just as he took each one of us who are dead in sin and through the miracle of baptism gave us life, that we now know the King of kings in our very hearts. So whether there were 3 Magi or 600 Magi, they were representatives of this broken world, and they were recipients of God's grace. They were brought to Jesus as a symbol of Christ's work, and really, how blessed were they to be among the first of a line of people that includes us who are saved by God, saved by a miracle of love. They acknowledged Christ. They praised him. They had the epiphany realization that God is in flesh right here, just as we know by faith. And they knew it, so they brought the best gifts they could. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts truly fit for any king, from a dignitary to a ruler. The best our world could offer, and think to the guy who created everything, how little that could mean. And instead, Christ was there amongst them, amongst the sorcerers, amongst the sinners, amongst their worldly gifts, and they worshiped him. Now, these guys are important for another reason. Those 3 gifts they gave were to a king. And this is, in Matthew's gospel, the last time that Christ will be recognized as a king, until Pilate himself pretty much jokingly calls him King of the Jews. And Christ received 3 new gifts then. He got nails, a spear, and a crown of thorns. Somehow we got worse at giving gifts to the King of Kings. And yet he died for the world, so that we would be able to have that miracle, to join the Magi, to see the King of Kings, and to praise him. To know that Christ has come into the world, and he is the King of creation. If those weird stargazers could get it, well, even sinners like us can be included. We were brought out of the fallen world into the presence of God. We're amongst the glory of all the saints who know God. And even now we stand in the presence of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would please stand and join me as we praise the King of Kings today.